So the next talk will be Simple Efficient Monte Carlo Planning. This is joint work by Jean-Bastien Grill, Michael Valco, Rémi Munoz, and I think it's Jean-Sébastien who will give the talk.
So hello everyone. So I present you a talk about planning. It's a joint work with Michael Valco and Rémi Munoz. So I want you to imagine that you're a robot and that your dream is to get to NIPS conference. So it's a nice conference, you want to get there. And to do that, you interact with your environment. You can so take action, which will impact the environment. And once you take this action, you get to observe a reward and how did you impact your environment. So the environment modification are stochastic, and the reward also is stochastic. And to help you trying to decide for which action you should take, you have access to a generative model, so a model of all the world evolve with your actions. And what you're interested in is the policy for your current configuration, environment configuration. So you're not interested in the full policy. So usually methods for computing full policy are scaled with the number of states in your environments. And there you're really interested in what's the best action for your current state. Okay, so you're an agent, and what you want is to think before you act. So you have a planner in your head. And thanks to this planner, you perform computations, so in the form of a Likert tree that you explore. And after you have done with this plan, you are done with this planning, you get a recommendation that you can then play, this time in the real world. And after taking this action in the real world, you get a reward, you observed all the world change, and you can repeat this process. And from now, we are interested in what happened in this planner. Okay, so as I told you, you are exploring a Likert tree. So this tree is constituted of two types of nodes. So you have there in red maximum nodes, which correspond to nodes where the agent has to take a decision. And also the problem is stochastic, so the environment is stochastic, so you have also average nodes at which the environment sample a transition, and you alternate between decision from the agent and transition from the environment. And what you want is to maximize the expected value of the sum of the cumulative reward you receive through this process. Okay, so here a node S is a description of the environment, so it could be a state for MDP or a belief state for pure MDP. And then every node is associated with a value, which is the reward you can expect to get if you play optimally from there. Okay, and our goal will be to compute this value, because if you can efficiently compute this value, then you can compute your value for every action, every of your action, and just pick the best. Okay? So this value for max node, so max node is where agent takes decision. So the value at max node is the maximum of the value of the children because you play optimally, so you play the action toward the best child. And at average node, it's the environment taking decision, sampling a transition. So the value is the weighted average, the average of the value of the children weighted by the transition probabilities. And so our goal is to compute the value of a given node, so let's say here the root is zero. Okay, so to do that, I told you that we have a generative model, so we don't actually have the access to the full law of the transitions or the rewards, but we can still access them through samples. And then from this generative model, we want to be able to provide an output, which is a good approximation of the value of the root, and this with guarantees. So we want with high probability, 1 minus delta there, to output a value small v, which is close to the actual value of the root up to epsilon. Okay, and we want to do that efficiently. So we want to call our generative model the less amount of time as possible. So we want to minimize our sample complexity. So if you uniformly explore all your tree up to depth h, then you will have to explore an exponential amount of nodes. So at depth h, you have a, which is number of action, times s, which is number of possible transition per h. And often you cannot afford that. So what you want is to design adaptive algorithm, which if there is no structure in your problem, just explore uniformly. But if there is structure in your problem, just explore few nodes, few paths, and still be able but are still able to provide guarantees by exploring a few parts of the tree. Okay, so now I want to quickly give you the ideas of how the algorithm works. So it's called Tree Blazer. And what it does is that it associates each node of the tree to a persistent object with its own memory. And the goal of a node is to compute its own value. So it can be queried to compute it. And in order to do so, it can do two things. Either perform calls to the generative model, or it can also query its own children for their value. And after doing this, it outputs a value, which is a good approximation of the value of the node, and we propagate this up to the roots. Also, queries are performed with a precision argument, and there are two numbers for that, epsilon and n, epsilon for the bias, and n is a measure of the variance of your estimator. And so now what does the algorithm? So for at average node, if you query with parameter n epsilon, you sample n transition, you sample n rewards, and then you query all the children you sampled with bias epsilon divided by gamma. So that's okay. And then for maximum nodes, you first run a best arm identification subroutine. And then once it's finished, you query the arm you have identified as the best with appropriate parameters. So the first thing is that if you have only average nodes, this just behaves exactly like Monte Carlo sampling. Although it's computationally efficient, it's at internal computation linear with the number of calls to the generative model. It's also easy to implement, and it works directly on the tree. And finally, it's adaptive. So that's this line there, this best arm identification, that enable us to cut part of the tree which are not promising enough and focus really on few paths and explore hopefully a lower amount of nodes. So this idea of having adaptive planner can be traced back to 2006 with UCT. Problem with UCT is that it doesn't come with finite time guarantees. So recently, we had the STOP algorithm in 2014, which tried to provide guarantees, and the idea was trying to drop. So at depth h, you have a times s per h node, and the idea is to explore few of them in order to decrease a to a kappa, which is a problem-dependent quantity between 1 and a. So if the problem is complicated, kappa is close to a, and you don't do better than uniform planning. But in some cases, kappa can be as low as 1. And in these cases, you are much faster. Okay. But one problem of this algorithm is that it's complicated to implement. It's actually consider all the possible policies, and there are an exponential number of them. So it can be complicated to implement it. So here's the sample complexity of this top algorithm of 2014, and you need to compare it to the sample complexity of a uniform planner. So you see that here the only difference, instead of having a number of action, we have a kappa, which is some kind of effective number of action. And then, so we provide a bound for our tree blazer algorithm. So this bound is the following. So instead of having a plus, We have a max, so this is an improvement over the previous bound. Also, the algorithm we provide is computationally efficient. Okay, but now all these bounds depend on S, which is the number of possible transitions, and this number can be big and even infinite. Imagine a density of transition over a continuous space. And in this case, we want also to have other bounds. So in 1999, Kearns et al. Proposed a uniform planner that would achieve non-polynomial sample complexity bounds in the case of S infinite. And then later, Walsh et al. Proposed an adaptive strategy this time, but still cannot provide polynomial guarantees. So what we did is that we highlighted a subset of problems for which our algorithm Trailblazer can actually achieve polynomial guarantees, even though S may be infinite, so the number of possible transition. All right, so here's the sample complexity. So it's a second bound which applies simultaneously with the first one. So it's polynomial in epsilon, it depends on D, which is again a problem-dependent quantity. But D may not always be finite. So when D is infinite, in this case, we get the same bounds as a uniform planner. But in some cases, D is finite. I'm going to give you examples. And in this case, we get polynomial rates in terms of epsilon. So kappa, the kappa I showed you before, was a measure of how many odd nodes there are in the tree. There, D is the measure of the probability mass of such nodes, and also it measures on how much concentrated they are. So if they are very concentrated in the same part of the tree, then the problem is considered harder. Okay, so here the example. So it's actually an example when D finite, when D actually equals zero. So first, I need a quick definition. The gap. So the gap at the max nodes is the difference in value between the best, your best, and your second best action. So usually, when you have low gaps, it's referred to hard problems because it's harder to distinguish between the best and your second best action. Then we define delta S. So for any average node S, this is a random variable that you obtain when you first sample a transition toward the max node S prime, and then look at the gap at S prime. Okay, and our condition is the following, is that you can uniformly bound the probability of the gap being lower than some t, but something of order t square. So what does that mean? So it looks a bit complicated, but it just means that the probability, the number of low gaps nodes, which are the odd nodes, there are not too many of them. Okay, so if that's satisfied, then actually D equals zero. And then we recover a sample complexity of 1 divided by epsilon square, which is the same complexity of Monte Carlo sampling. Okay, so here we exhibited a class of problems for which the sample complexity is polynomial. But it's still unknown whether it is possible or not to get polynomial bounds uniformly over, like all, to get polynomial bounds for all possible problems. So there is a gap between the upper and lower bounds. So I showed you the upper bounds is non-polynomial. Current upper bounds are not polynomial, while lower bounds are polynomial. So the question is, can we design a better uniform planner than the one I mentioned? So maybe we can. Yeah, so maybe not. My personal opinion on that is that it's not possible, but it's still, so my personal opinion is that actually the lower bound needs to be refined up to something not polynomial. But it's still open question. All right, and now I'm going to conclude. So here I introduce you Trailblazer, which is a new algorithm for planning using Monte Carlo sampling. So our first contribution is that the algorithm is easy to implement, work directly on tree rather than policies, and computationally efficient. Second thing is that in the worst case, it still performs as well as uniform planning. right? But if there are structure in your problem, we identify cases where TreeBlazer, so function in an adaptive way, it can adapt to this structure. So in the finite case, we improved over previous bounds by going from a plus to a max into the exponents. And in the infinite case, so when the number of possible transition from an average node is infinite, then we highlighted a class of problem and for which our algorithm still have polynomial rates. So to conclude, I will say that we can. So that's why I think we can see TreeBlazer as a natural extension of Monte Carlo sampling to control problems. All right. Thank you.